Father, I thank you, Lord, again, as we are gathered together around your word. You said Mary has chosen that needful thing, and it will not be taken from her. And she sat to listen to the words of life. And even Peter said, thou art the ones that have the word of life. Where shall we go? And so, Lord, unto you shall the gathering of the people be today. And they have gathered, Lord, to hear your word. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give us this bread of life. Even on this day, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light to us today and gives us understanding. And let the name of the Lord be glorified. I pray, Lord, that you cause our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and our eyes to see these wonderful things. And our hearts to understand. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, you know, today, still on the, you know, the subject of the kingdom of God. That's what we've been doing the last few days. And I just want to expand on this portion of it a little bit. It's still the same, you know, still on the same series. But, you know, I'll expand on this portion a little bit because we have alluded to it and touched on it. But, you know, not exactly spent a great deal of time to cover it. So we've been talking about the keys of the kingdom and the ordinances of heaven. And we've also been talking about understanding the ordinances of heaven and the principles of the kingdom and understanding what the subject of the kingdom is all about. Today I want to talk about the law, the prophets, and the kingdom of God. Let's bring the relationship between these, you know, three pillars, if you want to call it that, and what Jesus said and what we might be able to learn from the scriptures, and pray that the Lord will give us understanding. Praise the Lord. You know, from the beginning, as we have spoken about before, of course, the Lord, he wanted to establish some relationship, a relationship where he would be king and the people would enjoy the benefits of the kingdom under him. All they had to do was obey his voice and follow him. They didn't quite do it. Now, Moses, we're told in John chapter 1, verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Before we get to grace and truth, let's talk about the law. You know, the Lord, he called Moses apart and he gave him commandments to give to the children of Israel. Of course, even before Moses could deliver the commandments the first time, their hearts had gone a-whoring, you know, after the golden calf. And Moses was so angry that he threw the thing, and the thing just exploded, caught fire, and burnt down the whole thing. God, of course, called him again, and he wrote the commandments for him. And in those commandments and the various things that God would tell him, trying to draw them unto himself. And the Lord, even, you know, he told them, you know, gave them an invitation. They turned it down. I've spoken about this, you know, multiple times. And here is the invitation that the Lord gave them. He said, you know, that the Lord, you know, in the third month, let's read it from the beginning of Exodus 19. The third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. But they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now here's the invitation. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Well, that's the kingdom again. This was the thing that God was looking for, establish a kingdom, but all of them would be priests. And, you know, and he said, look, and you'll be an holy nation. And these are the words that you will speak unto the children of Israel. So that was the commandment. And Moses actually did come and speak those words. And then the Lord gave him some words too. So, you know, and he, you know, in the next chapter, chapter 20, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, thou shalt not make any graven image unto thee, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor manservant, nor maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all them that are therein, and it rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Now honor thy father and thy mother, that all thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not be a false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy neighbor's manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is not come to destroy, he's only come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. The people stood afar off though. They didn't want any part of God. Now, so I just read to you what people traditionally call the law, the commandments, you know, 10 commandments. But there was a whole lot more, you know, throughout the book of Exodus, you know, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all those places. God expanded and gave them a lot of laws, a lot of things that Moses gave them, you know, ordinances about so many things. We're not going to get into those things today because it takes months and months. We won't dissect all of those things. But together, people have referred to the scriptures, even Jesus referred to all those things as the law. And, you know, in that law, one time Jesus summarized the whole thing. Because, you know, there's so many of them. And they were not just laws of our relationship and service and worship of the Lord. There was laws about our relationship to others within the family. There were different laws, health laws even. There was all kinds of laws that God gave, you know, sacrificial laws and so on and so forth. Well, when one man came to Jesus and said, look, tell me, what is the great commandment? And Jesus said, well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, you know, thou shalt, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, these are the two great commandments. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, Jesus wrapped everything up by saying that, you know, the law and the prophets and all these things are wrapped up in those two commandments. Say, upon all these things hang all the law and the prophets. So let's read Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40. This is where, you know, one place where Jesus mentioned that, you know, because he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Reading at verse 36 of Matthew 22. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we see that, you know, Jesus wrapped everything up into those two. Now, as I said before, if we want to enumerate, you know, all the various laws and different things, you know, there's just so many. In the book of Leviticus, he began to bring out many other things. And then even in the book of Deuteronomy, begin to bring out many other things. And, but Jesus wrapped it up into these two. All the things that you shouldn't do and should do are all laid out for the children of Israel. Even what they shouldn't eat and what they should eat. How they should behave, you know, how they should treat their brothers and so on. All laid out. Many, many things. Which today we wrap up and call the law. And we're told that Moses, he gave the law. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, before we get to Jesus Christ, when the Lord saw that they couldn't keep his law, I mean, he tried so many times and they couldn't. You know, I'm going to read to you all the places where God lamented that the people could not keep his law. Now you'll notice that the invitation that God gave was for them to obey his voice. And you notice how they removed afar off and said, we can't obey his voice. We can't even hear his voice. If we hear it, we will die. You know, so I've always looked at that as one of the saddest things in this Bible. How will somebody say, I don't want to hear the voice of God? You know, and you know, that they disqualify themselves. They say, we cannot hear his voice. If we hear his voice, we will die. Really? And then, you know, but God said, obey my voice. How are you going to obey his voice when you cannot even hear it? How are you going to obey it? So that has been the problem forever. And then God, you know, he started sending them prophets. You know, so let's read some of these things. We saw they couldn't keep the law and they wouldn't do it. And he started sending them prophets. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 21 to 28. I'm going to read through this quickly. All these places where God lamented, you know, about their behavior and sent them a lot of prophets, told them, also did a recap of all the things that he had been doing, sending them prophets and what they have not been doing. You know, the Lord said in Jeremiah 7:21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings, you know, unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not to your fathers, nor commanded them. They have brought them out of the land of Egypt about burnt offerings and so on. But this one thing I commanded them, obey my voice. You remember? That's what we just read. I commanded them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in my ways that I have commanded you, and it shall be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and imagination of their evil heart, and went backward. Many of them, their hearts even went back to Egypt. You know, they never went forward. Now, since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising daily, up early, and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their heart. They did even worse than their fathers, you know. So what did the Lord say unto them then? Say, well, therefore, you know, speak unto them these words, you know, but they will not hear you because they didn't hear the ones before you. Neither will they hear you. Call unto them, but they will not answer you, you know. So, but here's what you will say unto them. This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. You know, truth is perished out of their land and is cut off from their mouth. So you can see how disappointed the Lord was. He said, look, I told you, obey my voice, obey my voice. This was mostly what he used to tell them back then. Obey my voice, obey my voice. But they wouldn't do it. Then he sent prophets and they still wouldn't do it. You know, and God began to lament about this thing, you know, that why wouldn't you obey my voice? I'm just laying a background here. Jeremiah chapter 25. Let's read from verse 4. Jeremiah 25 and verse 4. You know, and the Lord sent unto you all his servants and all his prophets. In fact, let me read it from verse 3. From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is 23rd year, the word of the Lord come unto me. I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, yet you have not hearkened. Remember, the Lord said, you will not hearken. And they did not hearken. You know, and he said, look, the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear. You know, they said again, you know, turn ye again now, everyone, in evil ways. These prophets told you these things. Turn from your evil doings. Dwell in the land that God has given you so that you can prosper. Go not after other gods to serve them. Neither worship them. Don't provoke the Lord to anger by the works of your hands, you know, so that the Lord will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord. And you continue to provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. Therefore, saith the Lord God of hosts, because you have not heard my words. Remember, they said, we don't want to hear the voice of God. You know, you go hear it and come tell it to us. Behold, I will send and take all families of the earth. You know, take, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, who bring captivity upon this land against all the inhabitants thereof. Against all these nations and utterly destroy them. I will make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation will be upon them. You know, moreover, I take from them the voice. See, this is where the Lord began to put all this harsh punishment upon them. The voice of myrrh, you know, rejoicing and everything. The voice of gladness. The voice of the bridegroom. The voice of the bride. The sound of millstones and light of the candle. I'm going to remove all these things from them. And the whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And all these nations, you know, and so forth, be serving Babylon 70 years. Now, because they would not hearken to the voice of the Lord sent them prophet after prophet, prophet after prophet, but they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't hearken to the voice of the Lord. And the Lord continued to lament. Now, this Jeremiah was one prophet that actually called out a lot of things against the children of Israel. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 35, there was a story there about the, you know, what the test that, you know, God put out there, you know, this, you know, these sons, you know, the Bible calls them the sons of the Rechabites. You know, God put a test out there and they didn't, you know, their father had given them commandment, don't drink wine, this and that. And they wouldn't do it, even though the Lord said, set wine before them. He was trying to see what they would do. And they wouldn't do it. They said, look, our father had told us not to do this thing, and we're not going to do it. And the Lord was even using that as an example. He said, look, you know, these ones did not turn away from the voice of Jonadab, their father, you know, and but ye have not obeyed my voice. Now, I've risen up early. I've sent you know, various things to you, but you would not obey my voice. You know, let's read, from verse 14 of Jeremiah 35. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. Unto this day, they do not drink any wine, but they obey. See, obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising up early, but you have not hearkened unto me. I have also sent you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye to me, every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given you to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. You know, so he began to tell them these things. The words of Jonadab were performed, you know, until this day, but my people have not hearkened unto me. Well, they said, well, therefore I'm going to bring evil upon these people. So you can see all the places where the Lord is lamenting that he called unto them by his voice, sent them prophets. They wouldn't do it. And so many places. Well, let's read one more in Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44 verses 4 to about 10. I just want to lay a background here. But this is important to this particular study. You know, he said, well, you know, the Lord always sent them servants. You know, I sent unto you all my servants. Jeremiah 44 verse 4. Rising up early and sending them, you know, and telling them, don't do any abominable thing which I hate. The Lord was telling them through the servants, but they hearkened not. And they did not incline their ear from their wickedness to turn, you know, from, you know, to turn to me. They were burning incense to other gods and so forth. Therefore, my fury and anger was poured forth and was kindled against the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. They are wasted and desolate as at this day. Now, the Lord was always lamenting that they did not hearken to his voice. He tried everything. Gave them the law, they wouldn't do it. Send them prophets, they wouldn't do it. So now, he said this thing, though, in Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Because he knew that he has tried everything and they wouldn't do it. So he said this. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will make a new covenant. Remember what he said to them in Exodus 19 and 5. Obey my voice and keep my covenant. But they wouldn't do it. He said, well, I've tried everything to make them do it. They will not do it. Therefore, here's what I'm going to do. I am resolved what I will do. But these people, they will not obey my voice. But the Lord was determined to, you know, separate a people unto himself. So rather than cast them away forever, he said, well, the coming a time, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, which my commandment they kept not. They break it. Even though I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord, but these shall be the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Now, I'm going to put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, just like the prophets have been teaching them. You know, obey the Lord, you know, and so forth. They shall not, you know, do any more of this. Every man his brother saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, this was in the mind of God. You know, how is he going to do it, though these people will not obey anything? He has sent the laws. I mean, giving them the law, giving them the prophets, and they will not obey the voice of the Lord. Now, let's fast forward. That was just a background, but an important background. And let's fast forward to some things, you know, that were, you know, how God brought, you know, brought out these things in the New Testament, you know, I think there's one more scripture I should read. 2 Chronicles 36. Let me read that one first before I go to the New Testament. 2 Chronicles 36. Read the more another, yet another place where God was still lamenting about these people. You know, we read it from verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 36. Moreover, all the chiefs of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent by them messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of God rose against those people till there was no remedy. You know, Jesus told one of these parables like this. He said there was a king that lent out his vineyard and so forth. And, you know, and then after a while, we read these parables. Send them something. They mistreated his servants. He sent more prophets. They mistreated them, you know, and so on. And then, you know, he said, well, maybe they will hear my son. He sent his son and they killed and they did all these things. He said, what is that king going to do? He will miserably destroy those people. Jesus told this parable similar to this. So anyway, after all these things, and these people would not listen, well, many, many years passed. It pleased the Lord to send his son, you know, and see what they would do. Maybe they will listen to my son, the parable said. So here's what John had to write about, you know, part of the reason, you know, why Jesus came. So let's read from John chapter 1 and verse 16. Now, John, this is John the Baptist. I mean, this is John, the apostle, writing about John the Baptist. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we all have received grace for grace. Now, no longer all of a sudden grace is being introduced. Grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, even he had declared him. So we see how, you know, John is comparing Moses with the Christ here. And, you know, even the Jews, they were always comparing Moses with Christ. When Christ, during the days of his Moses ministry, they would tell Jesus things like this. Well, Moses gave us manna from heaven. You know, what do you do? Moses did this. Moses said we should do this and not do this. What do you say? Moses said this woman should be stoned. What do you say? Moses gave us a bill of divorcement. You know, what do you, I mean, they were always, you know, always pitting Moses against Jesus, you know, and then Jesus would clear up the point. Here in the book of, this is really where we're going with this. In the book of Luke chapter 16, verse 16, where Jesus said, the law and the prophets were unto John. And after, from the days of John until now, he said, the kingdom of God is now preached. And I said the other day, and this is the where I want to go with today's lesson. The law and the prophets could not preach the kingdom. They couldn't do it. You know, they prophesied about and warned the people what would be happen to them if they did good and if they did evil. I mean, Moses gave the law and he gave even a lot of prophecies. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is full of it. First 14 verses or so, all the blessings that will come unto them if they obeyed his voice and did his commandments. And then the rest of the chapter, all the evil that will come upon them if they do not obey his voice. Of course, many of those evils came upon them. All these prophets,
prophesy. They couldn't really teach the kingdom. It was either obey my voice, and if you don't obey the voice of the Lord, then this judgment will come upon you. Yeah, that's all they could teach. And Jesus is saying it here. The law and the prophets until John. So John, you know, was the ending of, you know, all the ministry of those law and prophets. Because Jesus said, until John. When something is until, it means that when you get to that point, that thing has ceased. So, until John. Here's another way that Matthew put it. In book of Matthew chapter 11, this is how Matthew recorded it. When Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, let's read how, you know, he spoke about it. And there's one portion of this verse, of this text that I'm about to read, that's popular, that people always say, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, violence taken by force. Many people say that. But let's read the context and see what he's actually saying in the context of the law, the prophets, John, and the kingdom. Let's read it all, you know, and get what Jesus is saying. We'll read it from verse 11. You know, verily, verily, well, actually, you know, let me read it from verse 7. Jesus departed and began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, you know, what went ye out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? Well, but what went you out for to see? Now, there's something interesting about Jesus here that we should notice. Holy Spirit just said, go and read it from the beginning. All right. So, what happened was John was put into prison. We know that story. And then, you know, Jesus was there. He heard that John was put in prison, but he did not go to do anything about it. And you would have thought that this is just a little digression, but I want to bring out a point because Holy Spirit is urging me to do it. You would have thought that Jesus, being John's cousin, remember, you know, their mothers were cousins. So these were like second cousins. Elizabeth was cousin to Mary. So John was cousin to Jesus. You know, now, when John was in prison, Jesus knowing about it, he did nothing about it, apparently. Just left John there. You know, and this John was the one that had been talking about, you know, Jesus is coming and he's going to be the one that is even greater than I. He'll be the one that baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire. All these things that he had been talking. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now, when he was in prison, though, and Jesus didn't come unto him, it's interesting to note that John sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, why in the world would you say that? You are the one introducing him, that he's coming, and now he came, and you are wondering, is he the one that came? Is he the one that we're looking for? Well, because everybody, including John the Baptist, probably thought that Jesus is going to deliver us from the tyranny of this Roman government. And when John himself was cast to prison and Jesus did nothing about it, in his mind, now, see, this is how the human mind functions. Nobody is exempt from this, not even John the Baptist. He's now wondering, oh my goodness, and we would have thought that this, you know, I mean, and he's here in prison and Jesus did not come there to, you know, break him out or anything. And I was thinking, are you the one? Well, he was the one. John knew it, but his situation made him to doubt because he thought that, well, since Jesus is the one and I'm here in prison talking about what he has come to do, he will probably come here and, you know, break me out. But he didn't do any such thing. Jesus didn't do it. So John began to ask questions. Is he really the one? I mean, really the one? And nobody actually understood really what the kind of kingdom message that God sent Jesus to bring. And Jesus was trying to teach us. They all thought it was about, you know, some other things, you know, physically delivering us from the tyranny of the Roman government and so on. But Jesus was very gracious. Jesus was so very gracious. He did say something, though. He said, look, you know, he said, go and tell them, go and tell John what you see. So Jesus would just do all the things that Isaiah said about him, right? You know, rather than you just say, I am or I'm not, you know, well, he said, well, go and tell him what you see. You can see that the blind are getting healed. The lame are walking. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Well, go tell John those things. And then John can figure out whether I'm the one or not. And now he dropped this thing. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now that's the one that made me think when I read that one time. Maybe this John, because this is a weird thing for Jesus to say in the middle of this thing. Maybe John was offended because Jesus didn't come to, you know, break him out of prison. But Jesus said, well, blessed is he whosoever is not offended. You know, because they didn't understand why Jesus came. Some of them were offended. Even the Jews were offended at Jesus for this reason, because they thought that Jesus would just, save them from, you know, the problems, you know, that they were having under the Roman government. But that wasn't what Jesus came to do. A different understanding was what Jesus came to bring, but they didn't understand it. But Jesus was gracious anyway to John. He said, look, what went you out for the wilderness to see? You know, Jesus wasn't going to dress John down. As a matter of fact, started saying good things about him. It was just gracious. He said, well, did you go to see a reed shaken by the wind? Well, what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? He said, no, because John was clothed in rough raiment. He had camel skin inside out, you know, and the rough side on his skin. Well, my goodness, you talk about consecration. You know, and then he said, you know, those that wear soft clothing, they're in king's palaces. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Now, let's analyze this carefully here. Did you go out to see a prophet? Because, of course, people thought that John was a prophet. You remember one time they asked Jesus, well, by what authority do you do these things? And he said, well, I also will ask you something. If you can tell me, then I tell you. You know, John's baptism, was it from heaven, or was it of men? And then the people reason among themselves, well, if we say it was from God or from heaven, they say, well, why then didn't you believe it? And if we say it's of men, well, we fear the people, because all men hold John as a prophet. And they say, we cannot tell. And Jesus said, well, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So he's asking them, did you go out to see a prophet? Everybody knew John was a prophet. John himself said, you know, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And Jesus said, yes, I say unto you, more than a prophet. Now, take note of this. More than a prophet. For this is he. Why was John more than a prophet? I mean, how many prophecies did John really give? One. You know, yet all that one was more than all the prophecies of Jeremiah, all the other prophecies and so forth. You know, there was only one thing that John prophesied. You know, I mean, prophesied about the Christ coming, and that he is the one that's greater. He's the one that give you the Holy Spirit, you know, baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and this thing, and just presented Christ. That's all he did. He didn't go into many other things. However, his ministry was still very prophetic, because he would tell people, look, the axe is laid to the bottom of the trees, a repent ye, viper, you know, generation of vipers and this and that. It was prophetic, but he didn't go into all many prophecies, you know, like some of these people. And yet, Jesus said that he was greater than all the other prophets. Why? You know, he said, look, more than a prophet. See, among them, he said, this is he that was said, behold, I send my messenger before thy face to prepare thy way. So the reason that John was greater than all the prophets is what Jesus is bringing out here. Because the law and the prophets, they did their thing. you know, and when they finished and they couldn't accomplish it, God had to send something greater. Couldn't send something less. He couldn't send something equal, because he's tried all of that. He's tried the law, didn't work. Tried the prophets, didn't work. So now he's going to try something else. He's going to send somebody. Now, among them that are born of women, Jesus said, there had not been a greater than John the Baptist. None. Up to that point. Now listen to this though. Notwithstanding. Now you would have thought that Jesus would end that statement there. Of all that are born of women. Now Moses was born of women. Elijah, all of them were born of women. I mean, everybody, the only people that were not born of women were Adam and Eve. From Eve, the Bible called her the mother of all living. So from that point on, everybody was born of women. Everybody. But Jesus is singling out John. All that were born of women, all the law, all the prophets and everything. They give out the law, Moses, and all these prophets, whether major prophets, minor prophets, all of them. John, he said, is greater than them all. But now he said, he threw out this thing. Nevertheless, or notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven. Now notice this, is greater than John. Now, John is greater than all up to that point. But Jesus now says, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. Now, this ought to begin to tell you the importance of this kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about. You know, greater than all the prophets, greater than everything else was John. But now Jesus said, well, the kingdom. And at that point, he's introducing the kingdom again. Well, nobody understands what it means, but he's saying, yeah, but in the kingdom, even the least, greater than John, who's greater than all. Wow. I mean, if the Lord will open your understanding to get that, you would indeed say, wow. And that's the wow that is making us to teach this series. You mean to tell me that the least in the kingdom is greater than all these? Well, yeah. Because the kingdom itself is greater than all those. One time Jesus said, you know, which one is greater? The altar or the gift that is brought to the altar? Because people used to swear by the gift that's on the altar. You know, and he said, well, which one is greater? So definitely the altar is greater. The gift is there today and it's taken away, but the altar remains there. The altar is greater. Well, you know, you swear by the temple or he that dwells in the temple. Which one is greater? The temple or he that dwells in? And Jesus obviously said, of course. It's he that dwells in the temple is greater. So in this same case here, I was talking about, you know, who, you know, is greater? All these great prophets, all the things they did, all the messages they preached, and even John, who introduced the Christ, well, who was the greatest of them all? Because his own ministry was more important than all the others, because all the other people couldn't get it done. So, since they couldn't get it done, Hebrews, you read in the book of Hebrews that because God found fault with them, that covenant didn't work. He, you know, had to take away the first to establish the second. And the one man that introduced this second was John. So Jesus put John at the most important person up to that point. But then he turned around and said, nevertheless, in the kingdom, the least in the kingdom, greater than all of these people. My goodness. Then that means that we got to understand what this kingdom is all about, what this kingdom offers us. Because, you know, I read the other day that, I think I read it in Psalm 49, I was about to close. Holy Spirit made me read that, you know, that somebody that is in honor. Look at the honor that God is giving to the people. Jesus gave a great honor to John and even gave greater honor to the least in the kingdom. But according to Psalm 49 and verse 20, when you are in such honor, but you don't know it, you have no understanding of it, then you say, well, you are no better than the beast of the field that just perish. So this is why the understanding about the kingdom is important. because of the importance that Jesus placed on it here. And then he told them, then he said this. This is the famous one that everybody remembers. You know, he says, well, and from the days of John the Baptist, you know, until now, kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. Violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. This is the same thing that Luke wrote in Luke 16:16, a different way. All the law and the prophets were unto John. But from the days of John, then the kingdom is preached. So we see that John is the one that has one foot here on the one side and one foot on the other side. But let's see furthermore. It's not over yet what Jesus is saying. How Jesus is bringing the law, the prophets, and the kingdom together. Let's see what next he says. For all the law and the prophets were unto John. And if you will receive it, right? This is Elias, which was what to come. He who had ears to hear, well, let him hear. Well, what was Elias for to come? Well, this is the book of Matthew. So let's go to the book of Malachi. The way that the Old Testament is compiled for us now, you see that Malachi was the last of the books in the Old Testament. And that's the way it's compiled for us. You know. And the very last proclamation in Malachi, Malachi is the same one that's, you know, that said, I'm sending my messenger before your face. And the messenger of the covenant, he said that in Malachi chapter 3. The messenger of the covenant, which is Christ, will suddenly come to his temple. He said that. Then in chapter 4, as he's about to finish, talking about the day of the Lord and so on and so forth. And then finally he said in verse 5, behold, Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This is the ending of the New Testament, Old Testament as we know it. The canon, the way it's written here. And Jesus is saying, well, this Elijah that was for to come, if you can receive it, it's right here in John. Now, if you put that together, you will see that this John had one foot in the Old Testament and another foot here in the New or in the Kingdom. It wasn't the New Testament yet because Jesus hadn't died. We read that yesterday. Until the testator dies, the testament is of no effect. So all those things that Jesus was doing before the cross was actually in the Old Testament because he hadn't died yet. Technically, it was the Old Testament. Even though it's recorded in the canon of the New Testament, it was in the Old Testament because Jesus had not yet died. Now, everything after the cross was really the New Testament. And, you know, so, but he said here that this is Elijah. And Elijah was the one that was prophesied to come. And he's saying, this is Elijah. And so we see that this John, there was a spirit that put upon John, you know, to put one foot in the Old Testament, in the law and the prophets, and to put another foot in the kingdom. Because he was the one that introduced the one that brought the kingdom. So Jesus brought it all together. And we see a beautiful rendition of this. I mean, it's like this great story, you know, an allegory, a story, whatever you want to call it, unfold. It was so beautiful when we read in Matthew chapter 17. Let's read it. Beautiful story. We call it Mount Transfiguration. You know, most people also know this story. Let's see what happened. In Matthew 17, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them to a high mountain apart. So it was just these three that went with him. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. Now, that's a summary of what happened. But here's really what happened, the details of it. On this mount, there was an encounter. Jesus actually went there to have a meeting. It was a meeting. He didn't tell his disciples. He just said, hey, come. You know, come with me. Just took a couple, you know, three of them. But he was going for a meeting. You know, but he didn't really tell them. But in that meeting, there were some people that were present. There was Moses. Now, we know that Moses had died, you know, a long time ago. God hid his body. Nobody even found him. But he died. You know, that's recorded, you know, in the Torah. And then here comes Elijah. This was somebody that never died up to that point. But the two of them represent the law and the prophets. You know, the law and the prophets were there. That was the meeting that Jesus was heading into. And he took his disciples along to witness it. And then when Jesus came there, you know, he was there and they talked with him. And here, something happened while they were there. I mean, there was Moses. There was Elias, which is Elijah. And then there was Christ. And there was a voice, you know. There was something that overshadowed them. Christ himself was transfigured. I mean, all the focus at that point in time was on Christ. And just so we make sure, make no mistake about it, there was a voice that came from heaven, you know, and separated between Moses, Elijah, and Christ, who I might say, the kingdom. So there was the law, there were the prophets, and there was a kingdom. The messages that they brought, they represented. Moses represented, his message represented the law. Well, Elijah represented the prophet. Or Jesus represented the message of the kingdom. And which one is the one that God is going to testify about here? Well, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And he picks out Christ. And the glory and everything is shown around Christ. Actually, you know, outshone Moses, which is the law. Outshone Elijah, which is the prophets. But here the kingdom is right here. Now, it was important, but, you know, nobody even told us what the importance of this thing was. You know, they were discussing with Jesus. You know, they were also in another place. He said, well, they discussed with him the death which he should suffer, you know, and, why was it important for, you know, Moses and Elijah to be discussing with Jesus the death that Jesus would suffer? You know, why? Well, let's think about it. What might they have been interested in discussing? Well, for one thing, because they said it discussed the death. Well, the death that Jesus would die, I mean, of what concern is it to, you know, I mean, of what concern is it to, you know, to Moses and to Elijah? Well, let's read the rendition of this story in Luke chapter 9. We'll read it from verse 28 or so. This is the way that Luke reported it. You know, we read this version, it might give us another insight. And then it came to pass, you know, they went, you know, and Peter and John and so forth, mountain, and his countenance was altered, raiment and so forth. There appeared unto him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his disease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, why would they be interested in his death? Well, Jesus had to die. We spoke about that yesterday, not to bring forth the kingdom. But Moses and Elijah were even more interested in the death, I submit to you, because they were counting more on his resurrection as well. These are the two witnesses which will later come, you know, in according to the book of Revelation, we'll see them appear later on, and they will be called the two witnesses. and it will be the big, you know, it will be the combination of the law and the prophets again. You know, and some people say, well, we know one of them was Moses, and the other one could not be Elijah. This is the argument of some people, you know, who know neither the power of God nor the scriptures. You know, they say, well, it cannot be Elijah because, I mean, it had to be Enoch. I mean, sorry, it could not be, I don't even know, it could not be Moses, or, you know, it had to be Enoch, or it had to be, you know, because, you know, Enoch never died. They said, well, because Moses died, that's what I was trying to say. He said, because Moses died, it could not be him because he's coming to die again. I said, well, yeah. You know, and because they say, oh, you know, to man is appointed once to die. And the whole thing breaks down. Because Enoch could not have been Enoch. Enoch was a type of the people that will never die. It was a type. You know, it's a type of the translation, the secret translation. Because Enoch was taken, nobody knew it. Now, Elijah was taken, everybody knew about it. All the sons of the prophet talked about it. It was a type of, you know, those that will be taken later. Elijah actually came and he died in that. We see that in the book of, you know, Revelation chapter 11. You know, and when the from the ministry that was discovered in Revelation chapter 11, we know it could not have been Enoch. Enoch was never a prophet to Israel. Enoch was way before Israel. And so he prophesied about some things, but he never had a ministry to them. So God could not send it. But God sent these people who had a ministry. Moses did. Elijah did to them. And these are the two that will come. And they were counting on the resurrection of Christ for their own resurrection as well. But they would be killed. For 3 days, they now know all these things. See, once you leave the earth, you know a lot more things that you never knew. And, because, you know, they're understanding things. They understand that they are coming back and they will have to be killed. And, you know, their body will be on the streets. Everybody will look at it, satellite TV and all. And eventually they will rise again. They're counting on the resurrection of the Christ to do that. Together with my dead body, thou shalt also live. Counting on that. Jesus coming out of that grave in a new body. They're coming out of that, never to die again. They're going to get a resurrected body. So, but anyway, that's, you know, a digression. The key point that we want to notice here is the meeting of the law, the prophets, and the kingdom. That's the title of today's lesson. And the thing I want us to consider is, why did Jesus say that the least in the kingdom is greater than all these others? Well, if the least in the kingdom is greater, you look at yourself and say, oh, am I in the kingdom? Or by, you're sure you are. If you've been born again, that's what Jesus said. See, he said, you cannot enter in the kingdom unless you were born again. You know, so now the people that are born again through, you know, the understanding of the gospel of Christ, surrendering their lives to him, as we say, and being born again by the Spirit of God. Now, those people are in the kingdom. Jesus said that to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. If you are now in the kingdom, whether you think of yourself as great in the kingdom or as little in the kingdom, it doesn't matter. Jesus said you are actually the least in the kingdom. It's greater than all these other ones. Well, now that begs the point that we have to discover what makes these people that are in the kingdom so great that they are greater than Moses, Elijah, and all these people, Isaiah, and the rest of them. Even John the Baptist, which Jesus said was the greatest of all the people born of women up to that point. But he said, nevertheless, the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Now, turning that attention to those in the kingdom, then we must discover, you know, what makes them so great. Now, what makes them so great is that they are the ones who eventually will be the picture, you know, and the fulfillment of what God had in mind for Adam that he lost. Those of us at the end that are coming into the kingdom now, you know, we have an understanding. Say, God has given us an understanding. We now have an understanding of where we stand and what we should be like and what can make us to have this greatness that surpasses John the Baptist, surpasses all the prophets. Well, we're going to have to figure it all out. That's what we're trying to do. Building up to, for you to understand this is foundational and is fundamental to these lessons. And now that we understand where we stand, well, let's discover together all the things that God has freely given us in this kingdom. Because a man that is in honor and doesn't know it has no understanding about that honor. It's just like a beast that will perish. And we don't want to be like that. So let us have understanding of the honor and the position where God has put us. We did not put ourselves there. He said it himself. It's not me. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. That the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, who is greater than all other people. So he said it. And we got to say what he says. It's not pride to say what God says about you. Jesus himself said, look, I am from above and you are from beneath. I know God and you don't know him. And if I say I don't know him, I'll be a liar like you. Was he being proud? No, he was calling it like it was. You know, so if we say that, you know, the least in the kingdom is greater than all these people, are we being proud? No, this is what Jesus said it. I didn't say it. He said it. You know, and because he said it, now, well, that's the way it is. But I got to discover what it means by that. So, discovery is a path that we are on now. You know, why is it that the people in the kingdom are greater, but yet it doesn't look like they're greater? That's the thing, you know. That's the thing. You know, when Christ was upon the earth, you know, he was the king of a kingdom which people didn't understand. Did it look like it? No. You know, in fact, when he came, you know, he didn't come with guns blazing from heaven. You know, his mother, you know, and Joseph, they were looking for a place where she could have, bring forth the baby. They couldn't find anything. He was born in a, you know, manger, stable with horses and, you know, manure and all this kind of stuff. Is that the picture of a king of kings? No. When we shall see him, he will have no form that we should even desire him. His visage was marred above any. I mean, was it something? These are the things that, you know, make people miss the fact that he was indeed the Christ. Because he didn't look like. He had his humble beginnings and humble surroundings. And he just didn't look like it. Well, we may not look like it, but we are. Jesus didn't look like it, but he was. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, it says, look, you know, it is a great thing that we should be called the sons of God. Now, these are the people in the kingdom. That's another name for them. You know, beloved, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. That we should be called the sons of God. There was one begotten son, who himself proclaimed that unless the seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But when he dies, he brings forth others. Well, God appointed that he should be the pattern of things for the sons of God, the firstborn among many brethren. He was to be the blueprint. He could not be just the only one. He was going to be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. Well, you know, we already are, but it doesn't appear. But we got to figure out, though, what we are. You know, because most people, even in the natural world, you know, some people have identity crisis. They don't know who they are. Your young people especially get to a certain age. They don't know who they are. They're just trying to figure it out. That's the challenge for mankind, is figuring out who we are, what the purpose of God is for our lives. And in this kingdom as well, the kingdom of God, it's a challenge still. You know, people figuring out what the kingdom is supposed to be and who we are, what we are, and so on. You know, sometimes even those who are in the kingdom around him, they didn't really know who they were. They were behaving not in the right way. And Jesus had to tell them. One time they said, well, we found a group of people that didn't believe you. Should we call fire down on them? Because they knew Elijah did it. And Jesus said, my goodness, you don't know what spirit you are. We don't do that in the kingdom anymore. But they could have called that fire down if they wanted to. But Jesus said, no, we don't do that anymore. You know, that's what they did in the law and the prophets. The kingdom, very, very different. In the kingdom, you love your enemies. Woo-hoo! You know, and Jesus began to bring a whole new side of what this kingdom is all about. In the law and the prophets, they take out your eye, you take out their eye. They take out your tooth, you take out your tooth. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and so on. They slap you, slap them back. You know, and Moses, why do you think Moses did all of that? Because these people were pummeled in Egypt for hundreds of years. They were pummeled there. They were beaten. The wives were raped. They did all kinds of things to them. And they couldn't do anything about it. They could not defend themselves because they were slaves. But Moses brought them out now, teaching them how to defend themselves. Take up arms. Somebody beat you, beat them back. You're no longer slaves, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, teaching them all these things. But from the beginning, that was not the mind of God. So Jesus came and corrected that. He said, well, yeah, under the law and the prophets, they did that. But in the kingdom, you love your enemies. Now, people could not understand that. How in the world do I love my enemies? Well, in the kingdom, you forgive. Well, Peter said, well, how many times? You know, and Jesus was bringing all these new things. You know, they slap you on this side, you turn the other side, they let them slap you again. Are you kidding? Let them slap me twice? No. But Jesus said, well, that's the kingdom. He said, look, that you may be the children of your father. You'll be a peacemaker. You know, you always go about making peace and you'll be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. So they'll be called that. And Jesus will be teaching them all these things. You know, and they say, ah, you know. So that's what the kingdom looks like. In the kingdom, you love our enemies. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just drop this right here. You know, in the kingdom, we forgive also. Now, if you are struggling with forgiving and loving those people who have hurt you, well, maybe you are not yet in the kingdom. Or you are in the kingdom, but you are not, you know, participating according to the rules. You are breaking the law. See? If you're in the United States or any other nation, you break the law, they might throw you in prison. You know, so if you're breaking the law, you might be thrown into prison. What kind of prison? Well, in Matthew 18, he said, well, cast him to the tormentors. You know, and tormentors, well, means that your prayer might be blocked. So, we are in the kingdom now. We want to figure out what, how do we, you know, function in this kingdom? What are the rules? What are the, you know, principles of the kingdom? Every kingdom has rules. You can't just do it. That's why, you know, you come into the United States, you want to be a citizen. You're going to go through all kinds of stuff. They're going to make you read all kinds of history about the U.S., learn some things about the Constitution, do all kinds of things and so forth, make you take tests, make you do all of these things. And then at the end, they're going to make you do some kind of pledge because I, you know, say, well, the pledge is I understand these things and I'm going to abide by these rules. You know, that's the kingdom of the United States. It's not really a kingdom, but that's, you know, the best I can say about it. And the kingdom of God too, they've got, you know, God's got his own stuff. And, you know, a lot of it is written in this Bible. The rest of it will give it to you by the Holy Spirit. But if you are not ready to comply, you know, then you are in violation of the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's the first thing that we need to know. Before we start having dominion, we got to figure out the principles first. You got to be a citizen first before you can become an ambassador. You know, first you are a citizen. You are not a citizen. You can never be an ambassador. You know, so ambassador is a high class of citizenship. You know, because you're out, sent out to represent. You know, now we must understand what the constitution of this kingdom that we are in is. Every government has that constitution. Constitution of this kingdom that we are in is given to us in the Bible. It's all there. You know, say, man shall not live by bread alone, but you will live by this constitution. That's it. That's the way God gave it to us. That's what it's all about. Now, you need to learn this constitution if you want to be a citizen. You got to learn it. And when you learn it, you got to make a pledge. Stand by it. You know, are you going to stand by it? You know, well, one of the first order in the constitution is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, all thy strength. That's number one in this constitution. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the law of Christ. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Not as, you know, slap me, I slap you back. But now, love my enemies. And pray for them that despitefully use you. And forgive them from your heart. And release them as well. Now that we have laid the background, I'm going to leave it here. I wanted to connect the dots of the law, the prophets, and the kingdom. And how that the kingdom surpasses all of that. You saw that it was Christ, you know, that was transfigured. Moses in the Old Testament, his face was transfigured too. But when he come to Christ, his glory was ashamed, you know, with respect to the glory of the kingdom. It was nothing, you know, compared to the glory of the kingdom. And the book of Corinthians talks about it. He said, you know, Moses, who was a minister of the letter that killeth, had his glory. Well, how much more? The glory that excelleth. You know, so the glory of the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, excels all everything that Moses could ever do. Yeah, it was nothing. You know, Jesus proved it. You know, by the statement that he made of John being greater than everybody and the least in the kingdom being greater than John. So he proved it. And he also proved it on Mount Transfiguration, you know, where he outshined every, you know, the other two. And God also proved it by when, you know, the voice came, it was Jesus that was selected, not Moses and not Elijah. So God had done with the law and the prophets, they brought it together in Christ, and Christ said, well, don't think I've come to abolish the law or this and that. No, I come to fulfill it. It's the fulfillment. But it all ends there. And from there on, it's the kingdom that we preach. You know, we're no longer preaching the law and the prophets. They've done their part. We're now preaching the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? Well, that's what we got to figure out together. We've been talking about it for the last few days. Ladies and gentlemen, we're still talking about it. We're not finished yet. It's a long ways to this. But we wanted to bring this lesson today to help you connect the dots. Now, I'll close with this. Luke 16 and 16. Again, the law and the prophets were until John. And from John till now, the kingdom of God is now preached. So, putting these three things together, the Lord tried to do its part, couldn't do it. The prophets tried to do their part, they couldn't do it. You know, God rising up early every day, sent it, they wouldn't do it. So, finally, he sent his son at the end, and they still wouldn't do it. They said, we're going to kill him, Jesus told that parable. So, but there will be some that will understand it. Once you understand it, and now we are in the kingdom, then we figure out how we must function in the kingdom. Then we come to the B, benefits of the kingdom. We'll come to that. We'll talk about that tomorrow by the grace of God. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Let me pray over the room and I'm going to end it here. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of God, the understanding of how the law, the prophet, and the kingdom come together. The law and the prophets walked together to introduce the kingdom finally. God showing that the law couldn't do it, the prophets couldn't do it, had to be something better in the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, give us understanding of these things. And I pray, Lord, as we have spoken here in this room today, everybody else that will speak, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we will, share together and we will learn. See, Paul said, you may all prophesy, that all may learn. We speak the word of God here together, that which every joint supplieth, we may all learn. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. What love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we, even the least of us, should be called greater than everybody else. In the mind of God, that's how he sees it. And Lord, help us to not frustrate this grace that is bestowed upon us. Grace for grace, in Jesus' name. Reigning in life, even as Jesus said that we are greater, and the Bible says that we shall reign in him, even in this life, in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.